Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, the original Lifestyle CEO, and we are here today at the one place where we empower you to break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. I don't know what the weather is like in your area of the world today, but here in the Washington, D.C. area, we have record-breaking rainfall and flooding. I think in the last 24 hours, we have had almost 8 inches of rain. The beltway around Washington, D.C., half of it is flooded out. We're losing bridges, and houses' foundations are falling in, and it's really tough here right now. So hopefully you guys have sunshine where you are, and if you do, please pray or pass some of it over to us here on the East Coast. But even though we're sort of swimming over here, we are still making our businesses work. And by the way, Lifestyle CEOs, those of you who are working from home, aren't you glad that if you're on the East Coast, you do not have to be out there in rush hour traffic today trying to get to work? We are here at the show today with a great guest who's going to talk about one of the issues that I know you all want to know more and more about, can't get enough, and that is the topic of publicity. Marcia Yudkin is the author of not just one book, but several, and one of my favorites is 6 Steps to Free Publicity. She also is a consultant that helps companies large and small make the most of their publicity dollar. She is an expert on the topic, and she's also a former writer with the New York Times. She's written some articles for them. So we've got somebody with a well-rounded background here who is going to help us learn how to get free publicity for our businesses. Marcia Yudkin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna.
Well, it's just really great to have you here, and I know the first question my listeners want to know about my great guest today is tell us a little bit about your background and how you started your business.
Well, that's actually a hard question for me to answer because my business is the sort of thing that just crept up on me, and it wasn't until I had been self-employed for many, many years that I realized that I was a business in that sense. And I was earning a good living on my own without a boss, and yet I didn't think of myself as a business. 25 years ago, I was making a living as a freelance writer for magazines. I launched my career with an article in the New York Times. Then I wrote for magazines like Yankee, Psychology Today, The Village Voice, Cosmopolitan, Ladies Home Journal, a big variety of magazines. And eventually I started writing books. Out of that came consulting and seminars. And people noticed that I was very good at getting publicity for myself, and they asked me to teach them. And lo and behold, I became an expert on publicity and published a book on it. And for the last 25 years, my own career has evolved in a very natural way. And what I do now is I help small business owners and independent professionals get the word out about what they do through publicity, through websites, through strategy for attracting people through public speaking and many other different venues.
Well, Marcia, you have hit the nail on the head in terms of not just what you do and in terms of helping business, but also you may think your story is unusual, but most of my Lifestyle CEO listeners out there have businesses that evolved in much the same way. They were moving along, doing what they love, making a living, and suddenly one day or one week looked around and said, you know, this is a business, and this is something that I can really market and ratchet up my efforts and really sort of take it to the next level. So what you're describing is something that we are all very familiar with.
Can I add something, Donna? I want to acknowledge the one thing that I did that made such a difference to me in terms of being able to think of myself as a business and run my affairs in a business-like manner, and that was about, 12 or 14 years ago, mm-hmm. I joined a women's business organization.
Wow.
And in the New England area, it was called New England Women Business Owners. Mm-hmm. There's also a national organization called National Association of Women Business Owners.
NABA, right?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. And if you have an organization like this, I think that your listeners will find it very, very helpful. And so the way it was helpful to me is I was able to get together with a large group of people and also on a regular basis once a month with a very small core of people to discuss business issues and discover how other people dealt with common situations and realize the ways in which I needed to be more professional and so on.
Well, I love that you mentioned that. Thank you so much. We are actually, I think the month of August is going to be our networking shows, and we've got a representative from NABO who's going to be here to talk about that. And I've done some shows on networking and local chambers of commerce, and I'm glad that you mentioned that because it ties in sort of with some of the publicity things that we'll talk about in some ways. And I love how you described your background as sort of really just sort of organically growing into being able to use the expertise that you developed for yourself to help other people. And that's why we're here today, and I'm so excited to have you. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you've learned. First of all, Marcia, you've had several years of experience not just helping yourself and other people get media attention, but also you've worked with the media. You have been the media. You've written for the New York Times and other magazines. What is it about the media that seems to make, or dealing with the media and getting publicity, that seems to be such a struggle for small businesses?
Well, I think there are several factors, Donna. And one factor is, first of all, that people seem to place the media on a pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is they think that there's something special about the people who get media attention, and you have to especially deserve it. You have to be somehow head and shoulders above everyone else in your field in order to get media coverage. And that's really not true. All you have to be is a little bit better at getting publicity than the next person. All you have to do is know how to get publicity, and then if you approach it in the right way, you will be deserving of it. And the general public and a lot of the people who we're talking to today don't understand that the people who get publicity are no better at what they do than the next colleague who doesn't get publicity. The only thing they're better at is getting publicity.
That's certainly reassuring, I'm sure, for a lot of people, because in other words, what you're saying is that you don't have to have, for example, absolutely standout products that are head and shoulders above your competitors' products, but you do need to know how to present them to the media in a way that makes them attractive to them for insertion in their publication.
Exactly. And then the second thing you need is you need healthy self-confidence because you need to understand that publicity is a way of spreading the word about what you do. It is so much cheaper than advertising that it's not funny. And as long as you believe that you are as deserving of this attention as the next person, then you will be able to do it.
So tell me this, Marcia, in your experience working with people, do you find that part of that confidence comes from actually doing it, interacting with the media, taking a step, even if it's a small one, in the direction of some publication and sort of building your confidence in that area?
Well, actually, no, I think it comes before that. Now, never forget, I taught a seminar for, I think it was the South Shore Women's Business Network in Boston. And it was on publicity, and the people in the room were almost all women business owners. And we were talking about coming up with a publicity angle, and that involves coming up with something that is about your business that would be perceived as especially newsworthy. And we can talk about that in a few minutes. But there was a woman in the back row who very timidly raised her hand, and she said, "Well, I'm a patent attorney, and one of the things I do in my spare time is I work with prisoners who are inventors and help them figure out how to patent their products."
Wow.
And I said, "Great, that is so newsworthy. Jump on it. The media are going to love this." And I watched her. She almost shrank into herself.
Mm.
And you could tell from her body language that there was an intense amount of fear associated with that. And it wasn't appropriate to talk to her more about that in the context of a seminar with 50 other people in the room.
Right.
But when I am one-to-one with people, I can help them work through that fear and realize that it's really doing people a service to let them know about these interesting things that you do.
So it's kind of like maybe thinking in terms of, what is it that I'm doing that can help other people or that other people might be interested in?
Right, or that other people might just benefit from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And does thinking that way kind of help take the focus off of you or the person in that patent attorney's position?
Well, I think that women particularly are taught that we shouldn't seek the spotlight, that there's something wrong with you. You're bragging. Or you're trying to act superior, mm-hmm. or you're thinking that you're better than other people. And I think that once you realize how the media work and the things that we've been talking about so far, then you can just see it as, well, you know, why can't I get my 10 or 15 minutes of free publicity,
mm-hmm.
And benefit from it? Why should I be paying for something that I could get for free,
right,
if I just get over this psychological hurdle?
Right. Okay, good. So that's a great time to take our first break. So we're going to come back and talk about ways to get over that psychological hurdle. This is Donna Maria on the Lifestyle CEO Show today, talking with publicity expert Marcia Yudkin. We're going to come right back after this short break.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. We're here today talking about ways to get publicity for your business. And today's show is sponsored by the Handmade Beauty Network. For those of you lifestyle CEOs out there who are looking for some really quality handmade beauty products created by hand from scratch with wonderful ingredients like rose water and shea butter and all kinds of other things, cocoa butter and sea salt, you got to head on over to the Handmade Beauty Network website at handmadebeauty.com and take a look at some of the members and the wonderful products they have to offer. Now, Marcia, before we took our break, we had sort of left off with the thought that there are some things that you can do to kind of overcome any fear that you have of dealing with the media. Can you tell us a couple of your tips in that regard?
Yes, I think the most important thing is just an awareness, and it's understanding that you are not begging the media to give you some free help. Instead, you are presenting a story idea to the media that can help them do their job. And a friend of mine is a psychotherapist, and she used to lead group therapy sessions. And it just so happened that the topic of publicity came up one day, and one of the people in her group was a newspaper reporter.
Mm-hmm.
And the newspaper reporter said, never forget that that the media needs you. We cannot exist without you, without people coming to us and giving us their stories. If we're a radio station, we need guests to fill up our airtime. We can't do it all on our own. If we're the newspaper and you don't send us press releases, we can't do our job. Okay. If you're TV and you don't tell us about these appealing events that you're sponsoring, we can't do it without you. We need you. Mm-hmm. And so if you understand this, then if you have a tendency to help other people, then just remember that you're helping the media by giving them a story that is going to help them do their job.
That's a great tip. So if you approach them with the thought in mind of helping them and not just trying to get them to help you, then your mindset is different, right? And so you're able to approach the topic from a position of power as opposed to a position of weakness.
That's right. And also, if you have that attitude, another part of that attitude is helping them do their job even when it doesn't seem to directly benefit you. So, for example, let's suppose that you know that a certain reporter is always on the lookout for sports stories, and your own business has nothing to do with sports, but you know of, some unusual sports story that's taking place in your town, and you get in touch with that reporter and you let them know about the story, and then you say, by the way, my business is such and such, and if you ever need a story, a source on a topic related to what I do, just keep me in mind. They really do appreciate that sort of thing.
Oh, so you become a source for them. So again, they might come back to you for more sources, or they may come back to you for information about your business. Either way, they get a positive interaction.
Right. You become the go-to person.
Okay.
And so if they're stumped for a source, let's say you've done this two or three times, and then they're stumped for a source on a story, they don't know who to turn to, they don't know how to find the kind of person they're looking for, and they call you, do you happen to know? And then you say, oh, me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can help you.
Right, right. Oh, this is such great information, and you're putting it in terms that are like more laypersons than most of us are used to hearing. You know, it always seems to be so, there's jargon involved with dealing with the media, like pitching yourself or other sorts of things, and you're kind of breaking it down and sort of to its bottom line, which is basically helping the media do what they have to do, which is give their readers something interesting to read.
You know, there really isn't anything that is super technical or super difficult involved in getting media coverage.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like websites where somebody, either you or your webmaster, has to know HTML. It's not like advertising where somebody has to design the ad. It's just words. It's just communication. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm. And so developing those relationships and cultivating those relationships into long-term relationships could benefit both you and the media person.
Right, and understanding what it is that they need and how to communicate with them.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like this is something that's cultivated over a period of time, and the only way to sort of start learning it is to start doing it.
That's right. And here's a story that shows you just how simple it can be. A guy I knew some years back had a brother who owned a hardware store. And one day he went to visit his brother. The guy I knew was named Chuck, and the brother, I don't know his name. But Chuck went to see his brother at the hardware store in Worcester, Massachusetts, on Main Street. And all of a sudden the brother said, hang on just a minute, I'll be right back. And he ran out of the store, and about 2 minutes later he ran back in huffing and puffing and stopped to get his breath. And Chuck said, well, what was that all about?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, I ran out to put quarters in the meters so that the people who were parking near the store who came to Main Street, to downtown to shop, won't get parking tickets. And then the brother said, someday the media are going to find out that I'm doing this. And so Chuck said, well, why not today? He picked up the phone. He placed a call to the Worcester Telegram, which is the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked to speak to the news desk, And he got someone live on the phone. This is very common when you call newspapers. You will usually get somebody. And he said, without identifying himself as the guy's brother, he said, well, you'll never believe what I saw on Main Street today in Worcester. I saw so-and-so who owns the hardware store on Main Street run out and put quarters in all the meters so that people wouldn't get tickets when they come downtown to shop.
Mm-hmm.
And so the person, the editor, said, oh, thanks for letting us know. Within an hour, a photographer and a reporter showed up at the store to get the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a huge spread in the paper, like half a page with a photo. And it was a great story because there was even a little bit of controversy. They found somebody to quote who said it was not a good thing that this guy was doing it because it was depriving the city of parking ticket revenue. But overall, of course, the story was very positive, and it painted him in a positive light. And all it took was a phone call, and that's it.
So sometimes it sounds like what you're saying is that you can plan these things, but sometimes it's just a matter of having your eyes open and having the mindset of being on the lookout for opportunities as they come unplanned.
That's right. And now you mentioned the weather. The weather is something that is always, particularly extreme weather, is always considered newsworthy. And the reporters in your town are always looking for some sort of angle that will make their weather-related story sound different.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so you always want to be thinking, all right, is there anything, any spin I can put on my business
mm-hmm.
that relates to the weather and shows how people are coping with the weather?
Right.
So, let's say that you have a dollar item store and you can't keep umbrellas in stock. I mean, it's so trivial, but just calling the media and telling them about this makes it very, very likely that you will end up in the news.
That's very interesting. I wonder if there are people around here taking the, that is the only news here today is the weather. I was trying to actually find a TV station this morning that was playing something other than weather news, because that's all we have here. And you're right. I noticed they had gone into places of business and, you know, out to the metro stations and things, and it was just, if you had any kind of news related to that, it would have been great. Now, Marcia, I want to talk with you because I know a lot of my listeners are going to have this question. And by the way, you guys out there, you can call your own questions or comments in to Marcia at 800-773-0355. This is your chance to get some keen insight one-on-one and some of your publicity questions answered. Perhaps you're working on a publicity campaign of your own, or you have a story that you'd like to pitch to a newspaper in your area or even to a national magazine. Marcia is an expert, and she can help you here right here on the show. 800-773-0355. And for those who do call in, you're going to be entered into a drawing to win a copy of Marcia's book, Six Steps to Free Publicity. It's a great book, I got to tell you. And one of your chapters, Marcia, deals with speaking in terms of using speaking to get publicity for your business. Now, when you manufacture products, let's just say you're not a service provider, it's a little bit easier to get to use speaking if you're a service provider, or maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong about that, but let's just say you are a manufacturer of products. What are some of the things that you can do, if you're so inclined, to use your speaking abilities, your confident thinking on your feet, your joy of dealing with other people and meeting other people, to help get publicity for your business?
Well, I don't think it's any easier or harder to get publicity through speaking if you're creating products versus creating services. I really don't think there's that much of a difference there. But if you're having a hard time making the connection, then I would ask you to think about the Home Depot method. So what do I mean by the Home Depot method? Well, if you've been in Home Depot, you know that on the front window, front wall, they always have a notice about upcoming do-it-yourself workshops.
Right.
And so their philosophy is get people in the store to learn how to do various things that they are very motivated to do to improve their home, whether it's building a shed or designing a playroom or you know, I mean, I don't know, whatever, you know, whatever home improvement task it is.
Sure.
And then they get the people in the store, and then, of course, what are those people going to want to do once they learn how to do this home improvement task? They're going to want to know which products are in the store that they can buy that will help them do this task.
Okay.
So then there's a natural tie-in between learning how to do something and wanting the products. So let me give you a few more examples. Let's say that you manufacture high-end bicycles. Then you can create events where people come and learn how to do bicycle racing.
Right. Okay.
Or
so you know,
give a bicycle racing class at the local adventure store.
So you tie in information or content with the sale of the product. That's a really great tip. I want to follow up on that when we come back from our next break, which we're going to take right now. Again, anyone with questions, 800-773-0355. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. We're here with Marcia Yudkin, publicity expert. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
And welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, the original Lifestyle CEO. And we are here talking with Marcia Yudkin, publicity expert. And before we took our break, Marcia was sharing with us kind of a tip to get people interested in coming to your place of business to purchase your products. And that was to kind of do kind of the Home Depot method. I love that. Good analogy. Marcia, what suggestions would you have for a business that does not have a physical presence, that is a web-based business that sells products? What are some of the publicity tools that they can use?
Well, let's use the example of the bicycle manufacturer again, because if you manufacture high-end bicycles, let's say maybe even custom-made bicycles, you don't necessarily have your own store.
Mm-hmm.
So people will order them through a catalog or through the website.
Right.
And in a case like that, you can use all the whole range of publicity techniques that we could talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You could do speaking, virtual speaking, in the way of offering teleclasses.
Uh-huh.
Or being on the radio, being on TV.
Right.
You could create some tips at your website for people who are interested in high-performance bicycles. What are the advantages and disadvantages of using this metal versus that metal? You could offer, let's say, racing scores so that you have a resource page where people can go to find out what are the upcoming bicycle races and how they can enter, and so on. So you can definitely use the web and even the telephone, radio, and TV
right.
for publicity if you don't have a physical location.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like one of the things that you're saying is that in terms of publicity, it's not just, you know, I guess what it maybe was
you know, 30 years ago or so, where you could get featured in a newspaper or a magazine. You have so many other outlets and opportunities, and you mentioned teleclasses, and of course there's newsletters or just pages at your website that you can use as a publicity tool.
Correct.
So we should all be thinking much more broadly than we might be thinking. In other words, if we have a product, it may be great, but we have to figure out a way to expand, not expand the product line necessarily, but expand the ways that we capture people's attention about it.
Yes, but let's suppose that you sell your product exclusively over the Internet. You still want to make sure that you don't neglect traditional media. Mm-hmm. So, for example, some years ago, a client of mine got the American rights to market an all-natural version of Miracle-Gro.
Okay.
It's a product that you use in your garden and on your house plants that makes them grow like crazy and be really healthy, but it doesn't have any dangerous chemicals in it. So it's not important to the example that somebody else invented it. She could have invented it, but she didn't. She just got the rights to sell it here. And she wrote up a simple press release talking about the kind of results that people were getting from this all-natural growth supplement for plants, and sent it around to magazines that cover gardening. And she got 4 or 5 articles about this. And, people order from those kinds of publicity mentions. She got a lot of orders.
Okay. So when you connect your product with content or educating people, then you increase your sales opportunities.
Correct.
Oh, okay, so that's a really good way to look at it, and there's really no limit to the number of those opportunities on the market today, right?
Well, you have to be targeted so that she would not get coverage in, let's say, a bride's magazine or a bicycling magazine, but she would get coverage in magazines related to gardening, to homes, to natural living, to organic preferences, and so on. So it's not worthwhile to throw a broad net and try to get coverage in places where it's not appropriate. I mean, she's never going to get coverage in a computer magazine.
Right, right.
So, but I mean, it sounds obvious, but a lot of people don't realize that. So you want to be very, very targeted in your efforts.
So you kind of want to do some research first and maybe pick the best places for you?
That's right.
And so what are some tips that you can offer in terms of kind of doing that?
Well, there are a lot of websites that help you research what are the media opportunities out there. If you go to my own website, www.yudkin.com/resources.htm, that's yudkin.com/resources.htm, then I have a list of media directory sites for radio, TV, newspapers, magazines, and so on that can help you find the right media to target so that you are approaching exactly the people who are going to be most interested in your story.
Oh, that sounds like a great tool. And I guess once you start doing that on your own, you can develop your own target hit list. Over,
right.
You know, as the months go by, you can create your own, what has been effective, what's worked, what hasn't worked.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also use that strategy, can't you, not just to focus on the media outlets, but also on the people that are there, because, sometimes there's turnover, so you kind of want to follow these good media sources from one media outlet to another. Is that right?
Well, that's a very interesting point, and the connection that I would make there is that the fact that there is so much turnover in the media business is a very good reason why you never want to burn your bridges with anybody, no matter what they do. If you're angry at somebody because they wrote a story and there were 21 typos in the story, or they got your phone number wrong, or you sent them a great press release and they didn't use it, you never, never, never get mad at them, express anger at them, or try to tick them off, because you never know where they will be in their next job. They might end up on the Today Show, or at the New York Times or USA Today, and you know, you have the perfect story for them, they're going to remember you. Believe it or not, they will remember you. There's a story that I did when I was a freelance writer. It must have been 20 years ago. I was playing the media role because I was the writer. Uh-huh. And I interviewed an expert at Cornell University, and he was very generous with his time. But when the article came out, instead of thanking me, he complained that his business partner got more coverage in the article than he did.
Oh.
He was not grateful at all.
Oh.
Now, I remember his name, and I'm never going to give him publicity again.
Right, right. And it seems that also that kind of attitude lets you know that he wasn't really interested in helping your audience. Because
well,
the article, I guess, was obviously written to be informative to particular readers, and if that's what it did, then, and you know that he didn't really care about that, that's kind of a turnoff.
Yes, and I tried to explain to him that it wasn't any kind of a snub on my part. It's just what happens when you write a story. You, the writer, or the editor who's above you, looks at the material that you have, and you pick out the parts that are going to be most beneficial to the reader.
Mm-hmm.
And you really can't have allegiances to the people who gave you the information. Your allegiance is to the reader or the listener.
Right, right. So that kind of objectivity can't be compromised.
Right.
Well, we have got to take our final break. We're going to come back in another minute or so and talk more with Marcia Yudkin. And by the way, you guys, if you're looking for some fresh, effective strategies for attracting clients, customers, and media attention to your website and to your business, you need to head on over to www.yudkin.com. There's a lot of great resources there, some free articles. Marcia has a really informative newsletter that I receive, and I love it because it's informative and it's also short.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to the final segment of the week for this week's Lifestyle CEO Show. We are here with Marcia Yudkin from Yudkin.com, Creative Marketing Solutions, all kinds of different ways we've been talking about to get media attention and publicity for your business. We've talked about speaking. We've talked about using your website. And, Marcia, I'd like to talk finally in this last segment about a question that I receive a lot. I want to see, if you can offer a few tips about using pamphlets or white papers or some sort of written reports at your website to inform and otherwise generate increased attention. How can those be used?
Well, this technique actually predates the web, and it's a very, very good way to attract people who are perfect prospects for your business. And actually, my Six Steps to Free Publicity book came about in this way. Let me tell you the story, because it exactly answers your question. What happened was in 1990, something like that, I was giving a seminar on how to get publicity. I had a two-page handout that I created for the seminar, and I always like to figure out how can I recycle things that I've done. So I thought, okay, well, let me expand this two-page handout into four pages. Let me design it as a booklet, a four-page booklet, very simple. I printed it on two sides of 11 by 17 paper, folded it once so that it was four pages but one piece of paper,
mm-hmm.
and I called that a booklet.
Right.
And then I thought, okay, well, how can I use this to get publicity for my business?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I sent this booklet, and it was called Six Steps to Free Publicity, to a number of media outlets, including a newsletter called Bottom Line Personal, which at that time had about 1 million subscribers, and right now I think it has about 1.5 million subscribers.
And you sent hard copy. You didn't send it by email.
Well, we didn't have email then.
Okay.
This was before. I mean, No, hardly anybody had email, let's put it that way. And so I sent a hard copy, correct, with a cover letter explaining what it was and who I was, and offered it for their freebie column. And they had a column where in every issue there were certain things that were free, and you could get it for an SASD, a self-addressed stamped envelope. So they said, they called me and said they were going to run this. They liked it. They were going to run it. They thought it would be useful for their readers, mm-hmm. and that I should be prepared to fulfill 500 requests for this booklet. And they said, is that okay? And I said, fine. Well, guess how many requests I got?
More than that.
More than 5,000.
Oh, wow.
So I kept my printer busy, and it took quite a long time to stuff the envelopes, but the way that this benefited me was that along with the booklet, I sent a sheet of offers related to publicity. People could then hire me to write a press release or help them with publicity.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people who requested the booklet were perfect prospects for paid products.
I see.
That's how it works.
So everybody was happy. The bottom line company was happy. You were happy. The people you sent your booklet to were happy. The listeners were happy. Even the ones who didn't order the booklet, they got some great information through the newsletter. So it's a win-win all the way around.
Right. And now, through the miracle of the Internet, you can do that without having to mess with printing and postage and envelopes.
Right.
You can offer a free downloadable report at your website,
mm-hmm.
and you can use the same publicity techniques.
That's right. All you need is something to make it look attractive, and then you can PDF it, and off it goes.
Mm-hmm.
You can put it download at your website. You can let other people with businesses that complement yours maybe bring new customers to you to make it downloadable at their website.
That's right.
So let's suppose,
for example, that you have a line of everyday cosmetics.
Mm-hmm.
This is designed for people, for women who have a busy lifestyle, to put their makeup on in the least time possible,
right.
absolute least time possible.
Right.
So then you could put together a report on the 5-minute makeup routine. And then at the end, you can then let people know about your products.
Uh-huh.
So as long as you have genuine content in there that is that meets somebody's need, then you can have some promotional material and even an order form after it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, this is so informative because one of the things that it points out, Marcia, is that you don't always know exactly where it's going to go. And that's not necessarily a bad thing because the opportunities come by virtue of you putting the information out there.
That's right. So it happens quite a lot that somebody will send me an email these days and say, oh, I saw your report about such and such. Would it be okay if I told my 10,000 newsletter readers about this report? And you say,
let me think about that for a minute.
Yes, it would be okay.
Yeah. Okay, and you know, so one of the things, again, for those of you who might be just joining in, you are getting great tips on the Lifestyle CEO Show today from Marcia Yudkin, the author of lots of books, one of them, 6 Steps to Free Publicity. And I have to tell you guys, this book breaks it down very simply and very easily in terms that we can all understand, and also it's packed with information, but each of the chapters is not that long. You can sit down and read 1 or 2 chapters in a very quick period of time and get some information and tips that you can use to beef up and take your publicity and efforts to the next level. And Marcia, one of the things that I love about this book, and I want to ask you a couple of questions about this, is, you know, once you have created some of these things, you have to follow up. In other words, the hardest part, or I guess they're both parts that you have to follow up on. You have to get the material together and put it out there, and then kind of be diligent about following up on it. Give us some tips, if you would, about how to follow up with the media on some of the things that you put out there. You don't want to be a pain, but at the same time, do you sometimes need to follow up anyway?
Well, actually, Donna, I am not a big fan of following up.
Really? Okay, tell us why.
Well, my preference is to make that initial contact so attention-getting and so well done that they will pay attention the first time. I hate making phone calls to strangers, and you'll never catch me making a cold call, any kind of cold call. And I have been able to run my business for 25 years without doing that, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, if you can write a really great press release, if you can write a cover letter or a letter to the media that tells them why this is newsworthy and puts it in terms that are going to be really obvious to them, then I feel you don't need to do any follow-up. They'll come to you. And it's worked well enough for me.
So it's sometimes hard, though, because what if they didn't get the email, or, that sometimes happens, or what if they prefer to be contacted in another way? You still think that following up...
Well, of course, and that's why you don't just have one media outlet in mind. You have a whole collection of them. So when you are contacting Organic Living and Better Homes and Gardens and Metropolitan Home, and at the same time, you're not putting all your stock in hoping that any one media outlet is going to pick up the story. You know, the timing is wrong, or they just did a story about such and such. And so you have to play the averages and know that you have a good story, eventually they'll get around to it.
That's such a great tip, and it's not... If you're going to go ahead and do it, you might as well do it and sort of spread out the opportunities. And if it's a good collection of materials or information, and let's say you send it to 10 or 15 people, somebody is bound to at least respond to you somehow, right?
Well, maybe yes, maybe no. I mean, timing, no, really.
Eternal optimist here. Somebody's going to respond to me.
Well, the thing is that it's unpredictable. So let's suppose that 2 days ago you sent out this perfect story to the Washington, D.C. area media. Well, unfortunately, the weather turned out to be such a big story that it's overshadowing everything, and your story is not going to get attention at this time. So just wait and then try again later.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so collect those media outlets and kind of rotate them.
Yeah, you don't have just one shot.
Well, Marcia, we are almost out of time, and in the little bit of time that we do have left, I'd like for you, if you would, to tell us a little bit about the services that you offer and how we can take advantage of maybe just one or two of them that are most suited for very small businesses that operate on the Internet.
Well, I help a lot of very small businesses, either one- or two-person businesses, get publicity by writing press releases, and I have a very cost-effective service for doing that. If you can write a first draft of a press release and send it to me, I will rewrite it and make it just sparkle with newsworthiness, It's only $195 for that.
$195
for me to rewrite your press release.
And does it matter how long it is?
Well, normally a press release is about a page, so that's about 300-350 words.
Okay, good. And we can find out about that at yudkin.com?
That's right.
Okay, good. And we can also get your book there. You guys, I really encourage you to go and check it out. Marcia Yudkin has been such a wonderful guest. You guys have to get there and get 6 steps to free publicity. Sign up for her newsletter, and check out all her other free online tips. I'm sorry we've got to go, Marcia. We are out of time. But you have been wonderfully informative. Thank you so much for joining me. For all you guys out there, you'll be able to listen to the show again at lifestyleceo.com. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Donna.
Next week, we've got another great guest coming up.
We have RedHotCopy.com's owner, and she's going to talk to us about revving up the copy in our brochures and other marketing materials. So in the meantime, you guys, break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. See you next week.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.